another episode of Currently Binging. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you get locked in, hooked up, synced, wherever, however you listen to podcasts. We are on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google Play. Make sure you comment, rate, let me know what you think. So yeah, let's get into this week's episode. So this week we are talking about Maze Runner, The Death Cure. Now, I cannot remember. I'm pretty sure I did the first Maze Runner. And I for sure discussed Maze Runner Scorched Trials. And I enjoyed both of those. And so you can find those. Go back, look it up. And you can hear what my original thoughts were on this whole franchise. I'll say here again, in case you don't go back, I didn't read the books. I think I only read the first book, the first Maze Runner, because I had to read it in school. But outside of that, I haven't read anything other than that one book. But I did enjoy the franchise, and I was actually pretty excited about the return or the completion of this franchise. Probably a little more excited than some people. I mean, we had some delays. Dylan O'Brien, he got injured on set, and so it was pushed back about 6 months, a year from when it was originally supposed to premiere, because I'm pretty sure it was supposed to originally premiere in August 2017, kind of following along the previous two movies, which released along that timeline. So like August, September, somewhere around there. But yeah, so it was delayed. And finally it came. We got a January release, which, you know, we all know January, February, March are typically slower months when we start talking about movies. But yeah, so we got it. I saw it. And I'm actually excited to talk about this because I love seeing things to the end. And with Maze Runner and, like, you know, Divergent, where there's so much going on with that movie that we're not even getting a movie, and we don't even know if there are, who knows what's going on with that. But at least with this franchise, we got to see it come to an end, which I was excited about. And I was super pumped to see this. And I'm just going to get into it. I know there's been a lot of debate, or not even debate, there's been a lot of discussion online, at least from a lot of the articles that I've seen, about the dystopian young adult franchises or genre in general, which I will touch on. And then there's been discussion about, well, critically, this movie is sitting at a 40, it has 45% of Rotten Tomatoes. Like, critics really didn't like or enjoy the movie. There are parts of the movies that they appreciated, but for the most part, I think, at least from the ones that I read, it just sound like it was dystopian, young adult, that genre. There was fatigue from that, and they just were over it. At least that's what I gathered from a lot of the reviews. IMDb is not really like something you should put like money on, but from the reviews that are on IMDb, it's averaging about a 7.1, which I think is about a C range. I mean, I would still watch a movie if it got a 7 on IMDb. And IMDb, you know, people get in their feelings, and that's why it's like, take with a grain of salt. But yeah, so this was directed once again by Wes Ball, who directed all three movies in the franchise. It's actually his only credit as far as larger franchisee, that's not a word, but it's also his only credit as far as like big movies go. So I actually am interested after seeing all three movies and kind of seeing how they all kind of played out. I would enjoy seeing, or I would want to see more from him. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm going to tell you why when I actually start talking about the actual movie. But yeah, it's the final, like I said, it's the final our final movie in this whole thing. They didn't drag it out and do a two-part third movie, giving us part three and four, which really should have been a part three. They just gave us part three and they finished it, which I appreciate because I've spoken about my thoughts on dragging out franchises and splitting what should be the end or the final chapter of that story into two just to make extra money. I don't think we should do that. So they didn't do that. But what we did get, I do sort of have that whole dystopian genre fatigue. But the difference with the Maze Runner, which I have appreciated Maze Runner, especially, or this franchise, especially since I didn't really read the books after the first one, is that each movie kind of felt different from the previous one. And I don't really remember what I said about the Scorch Trials when I discussed that movie, but I do remember saying that I was not going in expecting there to be zombies. And if you know me and know what I watch, I do not watch zombies at all. I don't like zombies. I don't watch zombie anything, TV shows, movies, nothing. And I was not expecting there to be zombies. And I still enjoyed that movie as a whole. Now, if we want to rank each movie, I mean, I would have to go the first Maze Runner, then this one, and then Scorch Trials. Because the Scorch Trials was just, it felt like I was going through something with those kids because it was just so much going on. And it's like, once you thought that they were out of something, they ended up in something else. Which, I mean, that could be a good or a bad thing. But yeah, so I feel like each movie was different from its predecessor. So like the Maze Runner, we're in the maze, and that's, I mean, it's called Maze Runner, and we're trying to figure out what is going on in this maze. Like, what is, it's kind of like mysterious, like what's going on, why are these kids in the maze, whatever. That's that one. Then the second one's kind of like zombie apocalypse slash like marathon, death marathon or something like that. Which is the second one. And then the third one is like, okay, you got my friend. This is about loyalty. And we're going to get my friend. We're setting him free. And we're going to do some super cool action-y things along the way. So let's get into this. The thing that I appreciated the most about this movie, or about this movie in particular, this installment, were the action scenes. And a lot of reviews I saw likened it to Mad Max, because some of it was kind of Mad Max-y. But we opened with what I would call a train heist. Like, they straight jacked, lifted a train off the tracks with whatever that helicopter thing is. I mean, I watch too many shows and movies and I get them all confused. So whatever that, the flying entrapment is called in this movie, they hooked it. And I mean, and it's just each movie after Maze Runner literally just jumps right in. And I appreciate that, because it's like, oh, we're not going to go back and we're not going to recap. Like, we're getting right into it. And we got right into it with that train thing. And I enjoyed it. I thought that was like an interesting action scene. And everyone carried it really, really, really well. There are a lot of good action scenes. The whole final act was packed with action scenes. I will get into one moment that I did not really appreciate as much, like that whole there was just so, it felt like, I don't want to say it felt like a heist movie, but like them even going into the end and trying to get into the building, and that whole thing was super cool. And if you like action movies, I feel like you would appreciate, or if you like high intensity, high adrenaline type movies, those are scenes that from this movie that I feel like you would appreciate. Now, when we start getting to the story, I can see where a little people, I can see where people can get a little bit frustrated with this because Thomas, played by Dylan O'Brien, is our, he's our hero in this. And I mean, we've been following him and we finally get to this last movie and it's all about we gotta save Mino. We gotta save Mino. Nobody left behind. It's all about loyalty, 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 loyalty. That is the biggest thing throughout this entire movie to the point of frustration, especially for me because I am someone who believes in common sense. Common sense and reality. And I am someone who, if you say, oh, let's do this, in my mind, I'm going to go through all of the various scenarios and then I'm going to say, we shouldn't or we should. And a lot of the things that Thomas did, I felt like he was just so blinded by his loyalty and wanting to save Mino that he just kept leading them into burning woods and burning fires. And pretty much they were had to get themselves out of these situations. Whereas I would have been like, you know what? Mino is a good friend. I appreciate him as a friend. But at this moment in time, I don't know what all there is for me to do. And that's where you kind of have to in this movie. There has to be a little bit of suspension of disbelief or suspension of belief. I always do this every time I try to say this phrase. I always mix it up. But y'all know what I'm saying. You have to kind of like be like, okay, in this world, these insane scenarios could actually happen, even though in the real world, they probably wouldn't. So if you get over that, it is still a frustrating story because you're just like, all of this, the movie, mind you, was 2.5 hours about. So this entire movie, the whole driving force of it is saving this one guy. So we're risking all of these people dying to save this one guy. And I believe, I can't remember who said it in the movie, but someone even said it in the movie. What was his name? The older guy. I can't remember his name right now, but he had the ponytail. He was like, I'm not willing to risk all of these teens for this one person. And I mean, I was right there with him. I would have said the same thing. But you can't tell Thomas anything because once his eyes set on something, it is set on something. And so, I mean, you can appreciate that at least Thomas throughout each three movies remained the same. I also appreciated that because originally, before I went to go see this one, I rewatched Scorch Trials just to refresh my memory. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're ending this with a lot of new people. Are we going to have all these people sticking around in the next one? And I appreciated that the train scene, we got all these people. But then when they were like, okay, look, Thomas, you're on your own. We're not about sacrifice people. And then it was like stripped down just to the maze. To the people, to the boys from the maze who were still together. So Thomas, Newt, and Frypan were the only three who kind of started the journey into going to save Mino, which I appreciated because we got to get a little bit more screen time with them. And Newt is one of my favorite characters in this franchise because he is loyal. He's like will follow Thomas anywhere, but he's kind of the more realistic voice in the scenario. Like, okay, I'll follow you, but hey, did you think about this? So I appreciated him, but when he said that he had the flare disease, I was like, oh my gosh, they're gonna kill him off, and I don't know if I'm gonna be able to deal. But I was like, okay. And then this is also what frustrated me because Brenda, in the Scorch Trials, she had the flare, and Thomas, she ended up getting the doctor who, before she got killed, ended up taking some of Thomas' blood and making a little, what is it called, vaccine and giving it to her. It was like, oh, this will last you about 3 months. We hop right into the death cure. And the whole time we're doing a train thing, like, how long has it been? Because Brenda got some hair. I mean, when we last saw her, she didn't have any hair. She got almost shoulder length hair or about shoulder length hair. So I was like, okay, this had to be a couple of months. And then finally they tell us it's been about 6 months, which, you know, that's realistic. It took them about 6 months to plan this whole thing. That's why I went off without a hitch. Okay. And so then I was like, as we're getting further into the movie, now we done found out Newt got the flare. And I'm just like, and we see in Brenda, she shows her little scar thing or whatever. And Jorge is like, oh yeah, it's healing up nicely. And in the back of my head, I'm like, so why can't, I mean, I know in the real world, you would need to like match blood types, but I'm assuming since we're so far gone in this new reality of this movie where everybody's just dying, I would think that they could just be like, you know, until we can find something, you know, we know Thomas gave Brenda got some of Thomas' blood in the little, whatever you want to call it, in the little solution. But how about we just give Newt straight up blood, like do like a blood trans, I don't know, do something, give him a little bit of blood to hold him off until we can go and get the rest of the serum or whatever. And I kept thinking that in my head the entire time, especially when we got to the end when Newt is about to transfer or is turning into a crank. And I'm just like, because you know, I don't like to be disrespectful in movies, so I wasn't screaming, but in my head I was screaming, give him some of your blood. Give him some of your blood. Give him some of your blood. Like, I was just like, y'all cannot kill Newt. Y'all cannot kill Newt. And then with the whole fight scene, and then he ended up stabbing his own self. And I was just like, but I held it together. I didn't tear up or anything at that point. Because I was just like, this could have all been avoided if he would have just gave him some of his blood. I don't understand. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. And then Thomas making another emotional decision. Not really thinking about it and going back to Teresa and what's her name? The doctor. I think her name was like Anna or Ava. Ava Page. Going back to them and then Jansen. Okay, I'm getting off topic because I got to get into some of these characters. Let's talk about Teresa. Teresa, this also goes back to the Scorch Trials when Teresa was given Thomas hints from the very beginning that she possibly wasn't trying to be going on this rogue mission and wanted to go back, but he was ignoring it and he was ignoring it. And then in the end, she played them all and like turned on them. And so then again, we get into this, but I appreciate it because Gallie, come to find out, is not really dead. He's alive. So he's in the city, the last city, where Wicked is located. He's like outside the gates. And he was just like, look, either you in this 100% or you're not. And when we go, we're going to go and we're going to snatch up Teresa and we're going to try to get some answers and get some things rolling. And you can't be in your feelings. And I appreciated that because Thomas needed someone to check him about how he just jumps headfirst emotionally into things. And I appreciated Gallie for that. And also, I appreciate that Gallie came back and was just like on business and wasn't trying to, I mean, he was a horrible person in the first movie. And apparently from then to now, he's had some transformations and we're just not going to talk about it. We're just going to be like, okay, Gallie, he's helping us. He's got his head on straight and he's making common sense. And I appreciated Gallie for that. And that's why I'm not going to say anything bad about him somehow coming back from what we thought was the dead. But he was a much needed person. He helped them out a lot. Because had we not had Gallie, I feel like we would have had more deaths. But I appreciated having Gallie there. Jansen is a dirty dog. And I feel like Ava should have seen that he would kill her. Because he only cared about his self-preservation. Also, okay, because Ava was like, the disease got airborne. But in my mind, when Newt, in the beginning, before we even found out the disease went airborne, and Newt was like, he kept holding his arm or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think he got the flare. And then when he actually like revealed that he did have it, I was like, so how did he get it? Because I didn't remember seeing any cranks get it. But then Jansen at the end, when he was like, oh, he has it too, because then by then we have found out what's airborne. So like, so if it's airborne, it just starts in your arm, because on Jansen, it started in his arm too. I don't know. Just something to think about. But yeah, Jansen was a dirty dog. And Aiden Gillen. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. From Game of Thrones. It was a lot of Games of Thrones. Because you guys know I recently watched Game of Thrones. So I was like, oh, so many Game of Thrones people in this movie. But he always plays like the bad guy. And I, even in this movie, I was like, oh, I can't wait till you die. Because you are so irritating. He plays a really good irritating character that you just want to die. He plays it so well. So yeah, that was Jansen. Teresa, I have no sympathy for her. I feel like she, I don't know, especially after she turned and turned on Thomas and like pretty much played them, he shouldn't have trusted her, which he didn't really trust her. But then at the end, when it ends up just being them two and they're trying to get away from Jansen, and then they let out the cranks on him, and then the cranks end up killing Jansen, and then they go up, the whole building is about to blow up, and they run up to the roof. This moment irritated me so much, because they get up to the roof, they've been through all this stuff, Teresa done played them, she kept secrets, done all this, and then on the roof, when they're about to die, they think it's a good moment, because you know it's a teen movie, to have them kiss. And I wanted to be screaming at the screen and be like, are you serious right now? Really? If I'm trying to survive and I'm in a building that's about to collapse, I'm not thinking about kissing nobody. I'm thinking about trying to get off the building. But you know, maybe that's just me. And I did not shed a tear on her death, because I had no sympathy for her, especially after how events turned. And I don't know, I just really was like, okay, Teresa's dead, whatever. But yeah. but let's talk about Newt. So Newt, he died, which we do save Mino. So all that to say, we do end up saving Mino. Mino survives, Newt dies. And I was like, oh no, Newt died. And that's kind of sad. But we get to the end where everybody else makes it. Thomas barely makes it after being shot in the stomach. But he barely makes it. And we see that they're in their oasis. And he's pretty much been, I guess he was in a coma or something like that. But he finally wakes up and he goes out and he gets back the necklace that Newt gave him. I think Frypan had it, or Mino had it. One of them had it, gave it back to him, and inside of it was a note from Newt. As soon as he started reading that note, I was like, I started tearing up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Like, you know when you want to cry and you hold it in, and so then it just, everything hurts, like your eyes hurt, your throat hurt, everything hurts, and you're just trying to like not make the tears fall. That's kind of how it was. It was such a sad moment. I was like, why are we doing this? And that was the moment that got me, and it was just like, this is actually over. And was it a sufficient ending? A lot of people were like, oh, this was not that great of an ending, like this didn't, or a lot of critics or people who did reviews didn't really think that it was a sufficient enough ending. But apparently the last book wasn't really a great wrap up to the story either. So this goes back to something that I've said multiple times when talking about TV shows or movies that are referencing books. If the source material sucks, then unless they just rewrite the whole thing, then it's probably going to be along the same lines. I don't think that this ending sucked. But I don't know how close to the source material they kept it. I'm assuming they changed a lot of it. But I mean, hey, it's a fake world. But that's all I have to say about the movie. As far as some of the criticisms about, are we done with this whole it actually, this actually has a, its own, like, genre name. Young adult fantasy films. Is this the end of young adult family? Young adult fantasy films? Is this the end of young adult dystopian films? Is that whole genre dead? I mean, we've essentially, the whole fantasy, young adult fantasy film, what's the word? It's not really, I guess you'd say genre, has been kind of a thing since Harry Potter. So Harry Potter came out, what, how many years ago? Or at least the movies came out, like 15 years ago, I want to say, 15, somewhere around there. So in all that time, we've had all these movies. Some have been good, others bad, some have completed, others haven't. So is this really the end of that? And like, how do we move forward from this? I don't personally think it's the ending of it. I feel like with all things, a lot of it ends up being recycled. But I do think that moving forward, we need to be smarter about how we're doing this. I know a lot of the criticism, I think had this movie come out before, and I hate to say this, had this movie come out like before, like the whole Trump presidency and all that stuff, because this past year has been so heavy, and I think a lot of people have, a lot of the reason why this got so many negative reviews is because people were comparing it to the real world. And it's kind of like dystopian movies. They're like, oh, it kind of feels like we're already close to kind of living in a dystopian world because there's so much stuff happening in the world right now. And I'm not blaming it on like the Trump presidency. I'm just saying like before that, before like everything blew up last year, had this come out, I think it would have got higher reviews. But because of that and people paralleling it to real world events, then I think that hurt it. And for me personally, going into this movie, I wasn't really trying to compare it to what was happening in the real world. I was just like, this is a franchise. This is a story that I've been following, and now I want to see the end of the story. That's it. And it wasn't necessarily me saying, oh, this is too close to almost being like the real world, because I still felt like I could escape into that world so much. And maybe that's just me. So for me personally, I don't think that this is the end, but I do think that things are going to be done differently moving forward. And I do think that whoever, whatever comes in the future can take some hints from Maze Runner, because I mean, they do have a loyal fan base that wanted to see the franchise through to the end. And how they did it, like I said, each movie kind of felt different and it wasn't really the same thing, whereas like some of the other franchises, it just felt like the same thing every movie, like they were just literally trying to finish a story, and that got a bit tiresome. So moving forward, if they kind of keep that perspective, I also don't think it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a little bit more rooted. I mean, who knows what could happen, but I feel like it's going to be a little bit more rooted in what is actually going on in the world as far as moving forward. Because in the beginning, it was like the whole dystopian thing was like, oh, this is what could happen, but it seems so far out and it's so removed from what's actually happening that no one really like paid much attention to it. Whereas now it's kind of like, oh, this feels too familiar. So I think that it might also, moving forward, be kind of a little more relatable to what's actually happening now. And I feel like in general, a lot of movies are doing that, where there's a lot of parallels to a lot of the issues that we're facing in the world today. Hopefully that made sense, but that was a lot. And like I said, I would want to see more from Wes Ball. Am I saying, you guys, it's been a long day. Wes Ball, I was correct. For some reason, I wanted to say Wes Bell. I was like, that does not sound right. Wes Ball, I would like to see more from him. Do I think that he will do action? Who knows? I think that he does action very well. But I think he does. I think like his eye for like action sequences is really good. I mean, I enjoyed them throughout the franchise, but you know, a lot of people, once they get roped into one thing, they kind of want to do something different. So who knows? But I would like to see what else he has under his belt moving forward. And then the cast is still a pretty, when did the first one come out? It was 2018. I think the first one, Maze Runner, was like 2014, 2015. So it's been a few years. The cast is still fairly young. And a lot of these actors, I do enjoy other things that they have been in. So I would still want to see more from them moving forward. But yeah, I think I touched on everything that I wanted to touch on. I actually really did. I'm like, and I had so many notes for this movie, which is why I wanted to make sure that I sat down and had enough time to thoroughly discuss it how I wanted to. But yeah, I hit everything. As far as the money goes, opening weekend, it hit about $24 million. Domestically, worldwide, it was about $108 million. You guys know I'm rounding. But yeah, it dethroned Jumanji, taking the number one slot, and it's looking like it might take the number one slot again this weekend because I think the Super Bowl is this weekend. So yeah, that's all I have to say. My official grade, I would give this a solid B because I'm being super biased because I enjoyed the franchise and I actually enjoyed this final chapter of it. So I would personally give it a solid B. I mean, a lot of that grade is weighted on the a lot of the action sequences because you guys know I love a good action scene. But yeah, that's all I have. Did you see Maze Runner, The Death Cure? What did you think of it? Was it a sufficient enough end to this franchise? Are we done with dystopian young adult films? What does the future of the young adult fantasy film genre look like? Let me know. I want to know what you have to say. You can catch me or find me on social media everywhere at InHerGlam, InHerGlam. But yeah, that's all I have. I will talk to you guys in the next one.